Hello and welcome. I'm Mommy Imperfect, aka Reena Dipti Anabul, and you're listening to the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. How are you all? I'm doing good, feeling slightly uneasy about the relaxed Christmas rules that the government have decided on. I usually cook loads of food and invite both sides of the family to our house, and I just don't feel that that's a good idea this year, especially because like one of the places I've got family is tier 3, we're tier 2, and the family in London, they're tier 2. So I don't know, it's just weird. Like, I want my dad to be with us for sure on Christmas because my sister who lives in the UK is going to go to her in-laws and my mum and my youngest sister in Delhi. So apart from my dad being with us, I think it's going to be a quiet one, which is very unusual for us as we have a lot of family. But I don't know, it just kind of feels right for this Christmas in a pandemic, you know? And also, why on Diwali and Eid was everyone urged to stay at home? Probably because those festivals don't generate enough income for the economy. So that's what this is all really about, right? People spending money again to give the economy a boost. And also the government kind of resigning themselves to the fact that people are going to just do what the hell they want at Christmas anyway. Now, I will talk about Christmas again closer to the time, but I'd really love to know your thoughts on it and how you're planning on celebrating this year. So also this week, I put up a Monday motivation photo of me about to do a workout. I looked like shit, really. I mean, I had no makeup on. I had greasy hair. I had a big smile on my face, which was good. And I had hairy armpits. I was just kind of, you know, showing my guns and had like a vest top on. And so one of the tags that I put on was body hair, don't care, and no makeup or something like that. Anyway, I realised that I've now entered the weird and wonderful world of body hair fetishization. Because, you know, that has been my most liked post on Instagram. I mean, random people have just liked it and then messaged me saying, you look really sexy with your hairy underarms. And, you know, when I've clicked on their profile, it's like, just, it's... Their page is all about like women with little thongs on and stuff with like pubic hair banging out everywhere. Fine, I don't have anything against that. However, I am slightly perturbed by this interest in my hairy underarms, and I think I'm going to keep my body hair to myself from now on. Let's just leave that one there for now. But if you want to listen to an episode all about body hair, please do. It was me and Rummy talking about all about body hair, how to remove it, how to keep it, how to flaunt it, our feelings, mixed feelings about body hair. So listen back to that one if you want to. So let's leave that there for now. Now, as you know, this is a podcast that explores and delves deep into all things womanhood and motherhood. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about fashion, something that is quite important to a lot of women. It's quite important to me as well. You know that feeling that I'm talking about, right? The feeling that you get when you get a new top and suddenly you find that you need a new pencil skirt or new jeans to go with it. But it's okay because you can just get both of them from Primark or H&M and have two different looks. And after all, it's affordable, right? Fast fashion, woo woo. No, fast fashion has a devastating impact on the world. It's something which I wasn't really aware of and I'm still not totally clued up about. So I want to learn more about how we can be more sustainable in our fashion and lifestyle choices. And that is why I'm going to bring on the guest for this episode. Someone who knows all about vegan and sustainable clothing. It's fashion designer and founder of the label Betty Brown, Sukina Garcia. Thank you for coming on and welcome to my podcast, The Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. So listen, so you have your own boutique, and can you just tell me a little bit about it?
About me? I don't have a boutique anymore. I closed it this year, end of January, yeah. Mm-hmm. But my brand is still going, mm-hmm. And the brand has taken quite a turn. And obviously with this year, the way things have been, it's been a very difficult year for everybody. Obviously clothes has been the last thing on people's minds. The brand is called Betty Brown, and we are a sustainable vegan brand. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, we're working out of a studio in Leicester. And we're working on our next year's collection for spring summer, hoping it's going to be our first collection that's fully vegan and fully sustainable.
Okay, so can people still buy your stuff online or not at the moment? Are you in just a design?
Not at the moment. So yeah, at the moment, because so much has changed and because we have completely changed to 100% vegan, we've took this, obviously with COVID, we've taken this last two seasons out and we're relaunching in February. So our website will be back up and we'll be back online and we'll be back doing events and things like that that we've always done. So, but you can keep up to speed with us on social media and we sort of show you behind the scenes, the designs, how it's done, what we use. So you can see the collection coming together before it's launched.
Okay, that's really cool. And then, so what kind of things do you design?
Everything really, because we've all of a sudden gone from this work from home kind of lifestyle, we've been doing hoodies this winter, organic sustainable hoodies, you know, because that's what you want, comfort at home when you're working at home. But next year we'll be going back into workwear, casual wear, stuff to take on holiday. Our things are based on versatility. So basically, if you buy one dress from us, we want to show you how to wear it in four different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's all about buying things that last you longer and that you can wear more. So you have a smaller capsule wardrobe, means that life's easier for you. You save a lot of money, but yet you still get to feel comfortable, glamorous, and, you know, and look after the planet at the same time.
Okay, so let's just talk about that a little bit, and people having a capsule wardrobe, and then kind of you have these other people who throw out everything every season. I've got a friend who she'll just go through and like just put everything in a charity bag and be like, no, need new clothes. And I mean, what do you think about that? Is that what you're aiming? Is that the opposite of what you're aiming towards?
Yeah, I mean, fast fashion is a whole thing on itself. We in this life, you know, fashion should not be disposable. You know, that's not what fashion is. And if you really love fashion, actually, you should commit to your clothes that you buy. Fashion is the second most harmful thing to the planet after sort of oil, and it's because of fast fashion.
No, but yeah, I'm actually really shocked because I didn't know that. That is a shocking statistic.
Yeah, so harmful. So fast fashion, I mean, if you want to talk about how clothes impact the planet, I mean, there's so much to talk about. So we can talk about things like cotton, and that's a whole thing on itself, and I'd love to talk to you about cotton and how it impacts the planet and the people. But going back to your question about fast fashion, we are using fast fashion, and fast fashion is mainly made of cheap fabrics. So those cheap fabrics are mainly things like polyester, synthetics. Polyester is made from crude oil. Crude oil and oil is not renewable. And when they make that oil into the polyester, polyester is actually plastic.
Yes.
Once plastic is not biodegradable. So when you're buying all these clothes and you're putting them in your washing machine, every time you do a full load of washing, and it's mainly fast fashion, you could be letting up to something like 700,000 microplastics coming out of your washing machine in one wash into the water system, which then goes into the water that you drink. It goes into the sea life. The fish eat the microplastics, and then you end up eating it. So it's a whole cycle. So not only is it damaging the earth, it's also damaging you. You know, and that's when you talk about organic. So as a sustainable brand, I don't use polyester. I use organic materials in our collection. So I use organic cotton, but actual cotton, you know, the normal conventional cotton, it uses so many, it's actually the world's biggest user of insecticides, pesticides, and fertilizer in the world. It's the number one crop that uses the most pesticides in the world. So you know how we say don't, you know, you should eat organic food because it's better for you. Pesticides aren't put on it and you don't want pesticides in your body. Well, cotton uses way more than that. I'd like to talk to you about cotton, actually, if we can.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So as I was telling you, cotton is a massive user of pesticides. Now, let's use India as an example here. When you have cotton fields in India, they are all sprayed with these pesticides, and the farmers that are spraying these pesticides are walking barefoot with no mask, no shoes, walking in and out of the fields, spraying these pesticides. And the WHO actually says that up to 20,000 deaths a year are from pesticide poisoning. That's 20,000 people a year.
And I'm assuming these are quite low-income people, poor people.
Yeah, the people that grow your cotton, the cotton that we are wearing every day.
And they also get overlooked, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
They get overlooked.
And in these deprived areas where cotton is being grown, we talk about child labour. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the 13, 14-year-olds that work in the fast fashion factories. I'm talking about 4, 5-year-olds who are picking your cotton for your fast fashion. 4, 5-year-olds walking around in the fields, it's actually 70% of child labor is in the cotton fields, picking the cotton. And these children are, surrounded by these pesticides. And as they're growing up, they're starting to have illnesses and dysfunctional things in their bodies. Their livers aren't working. They're having cancers. And, you know, we think about fast fashion, but we don't actually think what's behind it. We don't think about the polyester and the cotton and where it's grown and the effects of it. And one of the biggest things that changed my business was learning about cotton farmers. Cotton farmers in the 50s and 60s, India decided to turn the cotton seeds into GMO cotton, into seeds, so that they have to sell seeds every year to farmers, which means that their farmers have to buy it every year. Mm-hmm. They produce the seeds so that the seeds need fertilizer and they need pesticides to be able to grow. So it's a monopoly board here. Here is the guy who owns the seeds, he owns the pesticides, he owns the fertilizer. And if you're a farmer, you have to buy it all from him. And not only did they monopolize it, they increased the price by 1,700%. So these farmers go and buy these seeds, they go and buy these fertilizers, they plant them, they try and grow them. And if there is a situation where either the shares in cotton, the cost of cotton has taken a dip, or that season the weather has taken a turn for the worst, the cotton might not grow. If the cotton doesn't grow, the guy who borrowed the money to buy the seeds in the first place is now in debt. And when he's in debt, he can't survive, he can't provide for his family. And it's a well-known fact that wives are finding their husbands committing suicides in the farm fields. And I'll give you a shocking statistic here. One farmer every 30 seconds commits suicide in cotton fields.
One that is farmer heartbreaking.
So us consumers in Europe and America who buy cotton, we buy 60% of the cotton here in just North America and Europe. We're buying cotton from these poor guys that are killing themselves because they're getting into debt. And once they're in debt and once the wives have found the dead husbands, the government come along and take the land away from the wife to recover the money from the debt. It's just a big circle. It's just a big monopoly. And this is why I use organic. Organic means that The seeds cost more, so I pay more. It means the labourers are skilled to grow the fabric. The labourers get paid more. The fertiliser isn't harming the soil. So if they want to grow vegetables for their families and other things on the land, they can do. Because once you've put those pesticides and fertilisers into the soil, it's dead. You can't grow anything. So if you're not putting that in, like organic farmers, then they're able to use and be self-sufficient in other ways as well. So it's massive. Behind cotton, a lot of people don't know what actually is behind it and why you should buy organic cotton, and you should pay what we should be paying. You know, in fast fashion, we are so used to paying the price of cheap items because we've paid for cheap labor. So when we find something that's expensive, we think, oh my God, that's so expensive. It's so expensive because we've paid the workers what they should be paid to live. In the fast fashion world, only 2% of garment workers in the fashion manufacturing industry are paid a living wage, enough for them to live, to buy food, to just buy their necessities. So that means 98% of people who work in the garment manufacturing industry in the world are not earning enough to live. And 75% of that 98% are women who come from Black, Asian, Indian, you know, backgrounds. 75% of women.
Yeah. Do you know what you just told me, Sakina? It just makes me feel a bit ill, actually, like really heavy-hearted. And I feel like I'm getting an education because I didn't actually know all this. Like, you know, you kind of think, oh yeah, fast fashion's bad, you know, organic cotton, but you don't actually know exactly really what is happening, and you don't actually know what that means. So yeah. But what can we do about it? Because that's horrific, and it's such on such a massive scale, like you said. What can we as normal people do about it?
You know, there's so much that we can do. If you really want to make a change, you have to want to really do it from inside. So now me telling you these things, saying, oh my God, that's really had an impact on me. If there's one thing to help you to make a change, I beg you to watch a documentary called The True Cost. It's on Amazon. And if anybody wants to make a change in their lifestyle, you first have to make that change from within yourself to want to really make the difference. If you watch that documentary start to finish, you will never want to buy fast fashion again because you see the truth behind it. And I would say that that's a massive step, just educating yourself into starting to make a difference. But there are so many other things that you can do as well as watching these documentaries and educating yourselves. There's small things that you can do at home, like just, for instance, your washing machine. Your washing machine. Yeah. When you wash, if you washed at, say, 30 degrees, and say if the whole of the UK washed all their washing at 30 degrees, the impact that they would have on climate, which climate is a whole nother ball game, it would be like the same as taking 400,000 cars off the road. So, you know, they're always talking about carbon emissions and carbon footprint and all of this. If we all washed at 30 degrees, it would be like taking 400,000 cars off the road. Wow. That's insane, right?
That is insane.
And I would say only wash your clothes when you need to. If you wear a pair of jeans one day and you come home and they don't need washing, don't wash them. They don't need to be washed. Mm-hmm. When you use the washing machine, use a full load. Make sure the washing machine is full and you're not just washing two or three items because you urgently need them. I think we've all got enough clothes that we can survive and get through. Mm-hmm. And the last thing on the washing machine front, I would say, would be try not to use your tumble dryer because that's, you know, drying is, again, really, really bad for the planet. And we keep talking about, oh, it's bad for the planet and fast fashion and this and this. And it all comes under the umbrella of sustainability, you know. And what is sustainability? Because we had this conversation, didn't we? What is sustainability? Sustainability is about what we leave behind for our children. So I don't even have children, and I find it shocking that people don't care. Sustainability is about what you leave for your children in this world and what you leave for your grandchildren. It basically means that preserving the resources we already have in this world. But this world is split into two halves. We have the developed world and the developing world. The developed world here, we're so greedy that we're just overusing what we have here right now. You know, we're just using it, we're using fast fashion. But what sustainability is about having equality across the world so that everybody has enough to live properly and for the next generations coming. So here we overuse everything, but in other countries that are developing, you know, there's several wars going on for little resource pools of things that simple things that they need that we're just using here and there, you know, water, for instance, clean water, or we're overexploiting clean water by keep running the tap and washing machines and, you know, leaving the washing machine running while the tap running while we're brushing our teeth, or boiling the kettle too much and then throwing out the rest that we don't need. There are people out there that don't have that clean water. And if we think in the UK that it's forever running, the water, well, it's shown now that UK could run out of water sooner than we think. And that's in your children's lifetime. That's at the end of our lifetime and in your children's lifetime.
You've said about having children, and I think, like, when I was younger, I was somebody who was like fast fashion, yeah, you know, and buying whatever I could afford and, you know, changing my clothes a million times and stuff. However, my kids, because they're 11, 10 and 4, and the older ones, they've seen a lot of documentaries like Planet Earth, and they get really influenced by this, and they're worried, like, and it really you know, breaks my heart that they're like, I'm really worried about the world, mommy, I'm really worried about the planet, and I don't want us to destroy the planet. And I feel like, you know, I've got to listen to that, and it makes me, like you're saying, I want the world to be nice for them. So it makes me think, what can I do? What can other people do? This is why I'm having the conversation with you.
Yeah, and I think it's those children. I think it's actually the young ones. I think actually the millennials are helping to ruin the world. I think that our generation are not really caring about the world. And I think it's those younger ones. They're actually going to be the peacemakers. They're actually the ones that are going to make a difference. But you know what? They're going to have to make a difference, because they're the ones that are going to be left with the ruin. And I just find it shocking that we're not helping our children to be prepared to live in a better place, because actually the difference we can make in the next 10 years now is huge, and we can put a stop to it if we act right now. But the thing is, we're now more than ever producing more and more and more fast fashion. As you've heard in the lockdown in England, the fast fashion, Boohoo and ASOS and all these places, they've made millions, billions maybe, but they've made so much money because everybody's at home click, 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 clicking on $9.99 dresses, you know?
Yeah.
And this is a time where we need to really stop that.
But let's talk about the lockdown a little bit, and the fact that a lot of people are struggling financially. You know, they may have lost their jobs, things are tight now, Christmas is coming, they're like, oh, what do I get? I'm on a very limited budget. How can you live sustainable? How can you dress sustainably on a budget? Is it even possible?
Living sustainably on a budget. I mean, sustainable fashion is expensive. And I'll tell you why. Let me just tell you why sustainable fashion is expensive. It's expensive because the fabrics that we buy are not polyester. They're not made from crude oil. Therefore, they're not cheaply available to us. So it's organic fabrics that look after the world, which will have an impact on your children. We also pay for buying these clothes. Our labor is more intensified, it's more expensive, because, you know, anything, like I said before, anything that we pay a lot of money for, we think is expensive, but it's not expensive because somebody in the world, if you're buying something for cheap, somebody in the world is paying for you to have that cheap with their own health or their own, their working lots and getting paid nothing for it. You know, there's girls that are getting paid in Bangladesh $10 a month. $10 a month. Now, if I'm, as a sustainable brand, I'm paying my workers $10 an hour. You see, there's a massive difference. And because sustainability, because enough people aren't buying sustainable clothes, that's the reason it's still so expensive. The more of us that buy it, the cheaper it gets. The more of us that can produce it, we don't get the benefits of fast fashion because we're not making in major units. We're making in small units. So they charge us triple, quadruple the price, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So, it's expensive to be sustainable. The small things that you can do is if you're going out shopping, I know that even places like, I hate to say the word Primark, but even places now like Primark have started to label some of their clothes up with conscious fabric or sustainable fabric. So if you try to choose those over clothes that don't have those labels on, that's better. I don't know how sustainable it is, but there must be something that they're doing there.
Yeah,
that is helping for them to put that label on. I would really say what matters to you. I know presents are important and, you know, but what are the fundamentals of life? What's really important? Are things important or is love important? You know, spending time, making mm-hmm. it fun, playing games. You know, Christmas Day isn't just about, oh, they've got these great presents. It's about making it fun for them, you know. It's about interacting. And why don't you just give them the best magical day ever by giving them 100% of your time? Put your phones away. You know, give them a magical day to remember and give them a few presents. They don't need millions of presents. Nobody mm-hmm. does. And yeah. maybe educate them on why you've chosen to buy less or why you've chosen to invest more in mm-hmm. certain things. So give them more things that maybe you've invested more money in, but maybe they'll look after it more. You know, if you buy a $9.99 dress, you'll feel nothing about throwing it away after a few wears. If you buy a £99 dress, even when you don't fit in it, it's probably still going to stay in your wardrobe.
Oh yeah, I've got some dresses like that. It's like, you know what, my kids are wearing this. I'm not throwing this away. The children will wear this when they grow older.
Because you spent so much money on it, right?
Yes, yeah, and then it does mean more. So my question is, right, if we stop buying all these cheap clothes at Primark, maybe H&M, like the things that are not labelled sustainable, but the workers producing those, if we're not buying them, won't they suffer through us not buying them?
We create the demand. So whatever we create the demand for is what they will work with. So if we create the demand for more sustainable clothes and we start buying more sustainable clothes, yeah. then they'll be given the jobs to create sustainable clothes. Mm-hmm. So we create the jobs. Whatever we buy, we give them. So, you know, we are in charge. Mm-hmm. We're in charge. And our money is our voice. So the more better things we buy, the better lives they have. And again, like I said to you, I beg you to watch the documentary, The True Cost, because from that you'll really see the impact. You know, you'll see people there saying that we don't want to make your clothes with our blood. We want to make your clothes with love, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference. And I think that once you choose to educate and not look the other way, and you choose to educate yourself, mm-hmm. I think everybody has the money. It just depends where you prioritize the money, even when you don't have money. Even when you don't have money, if your morals stand for more, then I think that's where you make a difference. And I think you feel better making a difference mm-hmm. to the world, that somebody isn't suffering for you to have, or your kid to have this cheap little top, you know. And if you do go out and buy your kids 3 t-shirts that are only £2 each, okay, that's fine. But use those t-shirts really well, you know, keep wearing them and keep wearing them until yeah. they're falling apart, and then go and buy some £2 more t-shirts. Don't go and buy a £2 t-shirt every week, because your kid doesn't need that £2 t-shirt every week, you know. I think educating your children is the best thing that you can give them, and giving them your time, giving them your love, you know, keep them off the iPads and interact with them. I think that's more precious than any item.
Also, just before you go, that you mentioned cotton, right? buying sustainable cotton, organic cotton, mm-hmm. what other materials do you make clothes out of that are sustainable and that we should be kind of aware of?
Things like, so I use organic denim, I use organic cotton, I use hemp, recycled. I mean, recycled's huge. So my threads, so the threads that I sew the clothes with, the threads are actually made from plastic bottles. So recycled plastic bottles into thread, and that's what we sew your garments with. So anything that's recycled, even part recycled, you know, even if it's partly recycled, that still makes a difference. There are more and more fabrics coming through, but mainly it tends to be organic fabrics, recycled fabrics. Mm-hmm. But again, if you just do a little research, it will show you that. And even places like H&M now are doing conscious range. So the conscious range is using recycled. They're really, H&M are trying to go into,
yeah,
reusable, recyclable fabrics. So it is out there. We just have to be less lazy and have a look.
What about Asian wear? Because obviously, you know, we're not these days going to weddings and stuff, but normally when things are COVID free, you know, it's all about dressing up for weddings and functions, and nobody likes to be seen in the same outfit twice or three times or whatever.
Yeah. So, how can we
be a bit more conscious about the Asian wear that we're buying?
I get that. I really get that, that, you know, forever it's been that, oh, I can't wear the same outfit twice. And I think it's all about mindset. Do you really care enough that somebody says, oh, I've seen her wear that before? Does that really, really, would you rather impact somebody on the other side of the world or have your morals and know that, yeah, I've won this twice and I'm proud of it. I'm proud that I am not stupid, that I have to listen to gossip and spend more money and, you know, spend hundreds of pounds on an outfit again that I'm only going to wear for a few hours. Like, who's the stupid one? The people who are saying and buying more and more, yeah, or the person who's listening and going, I bow down to you, I should buy another outfit, you know? Mm. Use your friends. Use a swap system between all your friends. One of my customers actually has an amazing system. She has a spreadsheet. She numbers all her saris and she numbers all her jewelry, right?
Okay.
She writes all the events down that she's been in the year, who's got what wedding wear. She writes down what she wore and then she rotates it. Don't get me wrong, she has a massive wardrobe, but she decided to stop because she has enough. You can't just keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no space in the house to keep going. So she has a spreadsheet where she writes down what she's worn, when she's worn it, and she just rotates it. And I think that's magical. And I think that we really have to think about our own ethoses, our own morals, and do we bow down to gossip or are we stand there and be proud and go, yeah, I've worn this outfit again, you know? Mm. Or switch it up, buy a new blouse or jazz it up, do some home sewing yourself and take the sleeves off, add sleeves on, add embellishment on, take it off. There's so many things on YouTube now where you can create mm-hmm. new out of old, you know, be creative. But I would say, be proud and stand proud of your morals that you are not being a part of destroying the world. You are being a part of making this a better place for your children. Educate yourself on these matters and then educate your friends, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you turn around and say, I'm just going to wear that sari I wore last year. Do you remember the pink one? Oh, you're going to wear that again? Yes, and let me tell you why. Let me tell you about the farmers in India committing suicide. Let me tell you about... And that will soon change people's minds. I'd rather have a clean heart and my morals that I stick with rather than bowing down to people saying, oh, she wore that again. You know, that doesn't bother me. You know, I'm not wasting my money, you know, spending more and more money because people want to gossip. I'd rather put that money in my pocket and spend it on my children on a great holiday.
Mm. Do you know what me and my sisters have started doing? So my grandma, who passed away a few years ago, she had some really nice silk saris. So we've started wearing her silk saris, but with kind of, you know, like little sleeveless blouses and stuff. So kind of just jazzing them up in that way. And it's nice because it's sentimental and they're just beautiful pieces. Like, you'd never want to get rid of them. So I'm kind of going towards that.
And I think between everybody who knows somebody, I mean, I can't remember last time I went to an Asian wedding. I don't actually own an Asian outfit, but I understand the system and what people do. And I think we all have friends that we can borrow from, that we can share with, okay, that we can rotate with, you know, put your money where it's better well spent. And I think I love that about it being sentimental. Use your mum's saris, use your grandma's saris, you know,
yeah,
dress something up. It makes it more exciting and you're being more creative. And I think that if someone says to you, oh, that's a beautiful sari, and you're like, oh, it's my grandmother's.
Yeah, there's a bit of a story with it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sakina, thank you so much. I feel like I've had an education talking to you, and I feel like I want to educate my kids a bit more about it as well. But I think it's all really important what you said, and I'm really grateful to have you on here and
thank you,
you know, sharing all the knowledge. But lastly, just give yourself a little plug. Like, where can people find out a bit more about you and Betty Brown?
So I'm just on social media platforms at the moment. If you want to learn more about what I do and more about sustainability and things that you can do, I'm on Instagram, and my Instagram is Life of Betty Brown. That's my biggest platform. I'm also on LinkedIn as Betty Brown, and I'm also on Facebook as Betty Brown.
Thank you so much, Sakina. It's been lovely
talking
to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
After listening to Sakina, I really feel like we should and we can make a difference in what we wear and how it impacts the earth. And that conversation was an eye-opener for me, really. Now, I have taken some small steps so far to do my bit for just reducing my carbon footprint, for being a bit more sustainable. Like, you know, for example, I use a bar of soap instead of shower gel. There is literally one bar of soap which I have found which doesn't dry out my skin. You know that residue that, you know, people that grew up in the 80s and 90s, when your parents bought like Pear soap or some other random soap and it had like a weird kind of residue on your skin and made you feel all dry and ashy? I don't want that. But this soap is it's a Dove's beauty bar, and it's got the moisturizing lotion in it, and it's got shea butter and some vanilla scent thing. But anyway, this one is nice, and we've kind of bought them in bulk, so it's in a cardboard box, the soap, each bar of soap, so you can recycle that. And you know, it cuts down on all these plastic bottles that I was chucking in the bin. So that's something that I'm doing. I'm trying to recycle a lot more, trying to buy things that can be recycled. I'm thinking about getting a milkman, you know, because we do go through quite a lot of bottles of milk, plastic bottles of milk that we get from the supermarket. So I think having a milkman, and I've seen some people in my street do have a milkman, and it is slightly a bit more expensive. Like, this is the thing, it's like a lot of these things are more expensive, and I wouldn't criticize anyone for going down the cheap route, because at the end of the day, you got to survive and you got to do what you can to survive and buy the cheap stuff, buy the cheap clothes for your kids if that's what you can afford, and buy cheap milk. And I've been doing that, but I'm thinking, look, let me try to pay a few pence more per pint or whatever and get milkman. And so those glass bottles can be reused. And I too can make jokes about the milkman like they did in the 80s and the 90s. You know, at secondary school, one of my friends, her mom had a baby around the same time as my mom had a baby. So my mom had my youngest sister when I was 13, and one of my friends, her mom had a baby at that time. And then she was like, oh, my dad's friend came to see the baby and he said, the baby doesn't look like you, it looks like the milkman, ha ha ha, and how they laughed. And we were like trying to figure out, what the hell does that mean? I really don't get it. At age 13, we did not have a clue what that meant. I asked my mum and she was like, don't know. I don't know what she said, but she probably pretended she didn't know either. Anyway, so now I too can make jokes about milkman if I get one. But I can confirm that I don't plan on having another child. And if I ever did, it would look like my husband, not the milkman. And my husband is not a milkman. So I'm going to shut up now before I go any further into this cringy comedy cul-de-sac that is not even funny. But I hope that you have taken something away from today's episode, something positive, because honestly, I feel like every single guest I speak to on this podcast impacts my life in a positive way. And I just want to share that with you all. So please get in touch and let me know your thoughts. mommyimperfect@gmail.com. That is my email address. Follow me on Instagram at Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect, and it's Mommy Imperfect on Facebook. Until next week, loves, take care of yourselves and the planet. Bye.